Think about just me and my crew.
Dang, take me back.
What's up, y'all? We are back. You know, we missed y'all. And we have a lot to talk about, but we're going to be more specific today. We're not going to hit on everything today. So much has been going on with Potomac all of a sudden. And we need to talk about some really hot topics with Potomac. But before we do that, as Black women, we got to talk about this tournament that just happened.
Yes.
And give credit where credit is due on the winning team.
The undefeated.
Who we can say.
Undefeated.
Undefeated season.
Okay. Undefeated season. This is not their first time winning.
No, baby, no.
Let's talk about it.
Nope. It's a third.
They have been proven as winners. And we're going to just highlight them for a minute and give them their flowers because the media has been kind of trash with giving them as winners.
You know it.
They black.
Their flowers. So we're going to give them their flowers. We're going to give the coach her flowers. And I'm going to open it up for Mandy and Shay to lead us in this sports segment.
I feel like one of the first things we need to say is like in the last, was it 2 years or 3 years, their record is something like 100 and something to three. Mm-hmm.
They've lost three games in the last.
Yeah, see, the two or three.
What,
years.
3 years?
Crazy.
It's unheard of in sports in general, but especially in women's sports. This year, the ratings have showed that people care way more about the women's tournament than they did about the men's. Like, I think the viewership for the women's was like almost double. The men's,
It was four million more.
Just because you had so many storylines, even before you got to the finals, when it was what's Bayou Barbie's real name?
Angel Reese
versus Caitlin, and even how that ended with the questionable moving screen. But we're not gonna go there because I believe refs cheat never scored. So you had that, and then you had Iowa going against South Carolina, who last year Iowa knocked South Carolina out in the final four. So it was like, it's like a revenge game, like who's gonna win. And like at the beginning of the game, like the first quarter, South Carolina was down.
They were down. Like, I was scared.
10 points.
And I was scared.
Like, oh yeah,
Don, what we doing? Ooh. What are you doing?
But Don was so cool and collected. She was just like, y'all.
She just said, no. she didn't call a timeout.
Play y'all game. Calm down.
I saw a tweet that was like, you know Don Cole, because she don't even call a timeout. She just stood like your mom. And the team did.
Like, y'all know
she
better.
Didn't call not y'all one timeout. Y'all know better. Yes. Y'all know.
She's known
for being like super even keeled. And so I've loved Don all the way back. I guess it was 2 years ago, I watched this documentary on her and the women's Olympic team, talking about them and Cheryl Swoops and all these other people. And it was so good. And so from then it's like, oh, Dawn, I love you. Like, I mean.
So let's talk about that. Cause she was a player too. She was an amazing player.
She's an Olympian, a gold Olympian. She has.
Player of the year twice in college.
Let's talk about it. She's 5'6", 5'7". She ain't tall. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's an average size woman, but she is killing it on the, she killed it on the court. She's killing it as a coach. She's getting top recruits. Yeah. I mean, the conversation about South Carolina versus Iowa was simply this, that they got a starting five and then they got a starting five on the bench where Iowa just had a starting five. Like, at the end of the game, South Carolina's bench has scored like 30-something points, and Iowa's scored zero.
37
they
points.
They scored 0 points.
When I say they locked that girl down from Iowa, when I say the defense.
Oh, Raven Johnson. So let's talk about Raven.
She's a freshman,
she deserves her moment. No, Raven's like a junior. She's a junior. Raven's a junior or a sophomore because the big thing was this year, this was Raven's revenge tour because last year, everybody, she's a point guard, but like it, nobody respected her shot. And in the game that they lost to Iowa, Caitlin Clark literally waved her off. Did. Like, oh, she not finna shoot the ball. Like she literally waved her off, disrespected her. Like, girl, ain't nobody worried about you trying to shoot the ball. So this year, Raven's like,
got something for you.
Okay, revenge. And she locked that girl.
She did. I mean, like, Caitlin got her points.
I like when she, in the first half, when she stole that ball right before halftime, I said, yep, the game, the tide has turned. That was the moment when I said, these girls finna win. Like, they were just destined to win. And the freshmen is what they made the difference. Malaysia Fulwiley and Tessa Johnson. Them two freshmen came out, like they said, like there's a starting five, and then there's another starting five on the bench. Those little girls can go to any other school and be a starter the full year.
And but one they of the bought things too, in. So the starting five from last year all either graduated or transferred or whatever. So this is a whole new group.
She lost five girls to the WNBA. She's a whole starting five. Yes, all of them. WNBA. She's that girl. I love Dawn. Dawn is that girl. So Dawn, here's your flowers. I literally just listen, I'm not even a girl that really watches women's basketball like that. Mm-hmm. But when I tell y'all compared to the men's game,
I did not even watch the men's
game. It was so much more exciting. Like I was like, I was really into
we low she he should have did women's brackets. We was tripping.
I did a women's bracket.
I did women's bracket.
Next year we will.
I didn't do
men. I did one for my job. I did one for my job.
Next year we only doing women's. Forget the dudes.
I did one for my job. But you know what I learned, and I'm talking to Ramon about this, the difference between college basketball for women and men. Women have to stay in college. They have to stay in college for 4 years, or they have to be like 22 or something to go to the league. So you have these built storylines of like history and like, oh, they played last year and the year before. Like it's so much history. It's easier for you to buy in to watching women because they've been playing for 4 years than most men. If they're good, they want it done. Like you they go to a school and they be done. Not, like it's no storyline to build. I don't even know nobody's name on the men's side. Yeah. Like
women's
I just don't.
Basketball also, you have to think about talent level. When you've been in school for 3-4 years, the talent level is ridiculous by the time you get to the WNBA. Because by the time you get to the WNBA, everybody can hoop. Yep. Everybody been balling. Everybody can do that.
Yeah. 144 girls or something like that. Out of the whole world, cut the teams in half,
and that's the WNBA. Yeah. So the talent pool is like this. So you really got to be cold coming in.
Yeah.
And if you ain't cold coming in, you can get ate up. So I'm excited to see, you know, watch the WNBA from a previous sports. Yeah, I used to play ball back in the day when I was younger.
Jasmine was a baller.
I used to hoop, and this has actually rejuvenated my liking of basketball because for a while I could not watch it, women or men. I was just over it. But now watching this is like, dang, now I see why I loved it. Now I remember why and like all of that.
So do you feel it's a different, do you feel like the game for women, like what are like some differences you see?
Elevated.
Like is the 3-point shot
elevated.
More like?
Everything is elevated now. Like the talent pool is better. Girls can really hoop. Like, you can legit hoop now. There used to be a difference between men and women. They'd be like, oh, men can beat women, da-da-da. Now, I don't know. So especially these dudes coming to NBA now, they're not even as good as these girls are. Like, let's be honest.
Can I say what's really making me watch? The girls are starting to look like girls.
The lashes.
They cute.
Let's talk about these fire wigs these girls had on.
These lace fronts with the
let's talk about these eyelashes that was
lashes
was,
all
was,
done
was giving it.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk about I would have to give credit to my girl Skylar Diggins. She's the one that kind of introduced to basketball because before that, I'm not gonna lie, who I looked up to, they was giving energy.
energy. Listen, we're not saying there's anything wrong with
nothing wrong with
it. What we are for me as a girl who loves fashion. I'm like, I'm looking at some of these girls. I'm like, first of all, body. Let's talk about some of these bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. Angry.
Let's talk about these bodies.
She did Sports Illustrated, baby.
Okay, y'all.
She did Sports Illustrated.
I just think, yeah, I think girls basketball for a while had a very masculine feel to it.
Yeah.
Feel. And I think now you have these girls walking in like, yeah, I'm cute. And I, but I ain't gonna lie, when I was younger,
bringing the femininity back into the sport.
My coaches' nails playing, they would go off on you. If your eyebrows, like what you wearing, it would be a whole thing. Like, you supposed to be masculine. So to see them like bringing in the femininity, I'm here for it and I'm excited.
I don't know how these girls playing in the wigs.
Girl.
Like, got to be glued. It definitely ain't.
Full on lace.
I couldn't even work out in a wig when I was full on lace front.
Flaje, Angel Reese, Camila Cardoza. Listen. I mean, full lace front. Full. I mean,
like, I heard Flaje do. She do be wearing her headband. Oh, yeah, I ain't gonna hold you.
Headband tied down.
Like, my lace is not be
on the edges. Aren't Angel Reese?
Listen.
After the game, they take it off and be cute.
Actually, it's crazy.
These girls are giving me. And let's talk about some of the braids that I seen.
I mean,
the braids are fire. I'm like, listen, I'm looking at y'all real different. And I think for the longest, to your point, Jasmine, I felt like a lot of the women going into basketball felt like that they had to be more masculine to get visibility.
Where now we're seeing
these younger girls that are like, I'm not doing all of that. And I'm still showing my life when I can
ball. Playing like girls. And it's so good. Diggins,
you remember like around the time she came in where all the Drakes and all of them was looking at her? Yep. So it's like, oh, you got all eyes on them now. So they're like, all these rappers want to be with us. Mm-hmm. We can't be looking any kind of way.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And now they
I love this for them.
I just love the energy. And I feel like, okay, my advertising brain, my marketing brain, where are the beauty campaigns?
That's next.
Ladies. Like,
Angel was just in Vogue.
Like, what are we doing?
We coming.
It's coming.
That's what I'm saying. Like, these women are literally showing you, girl. Like, I want to know what wig glue you using. I want to know what edge control you using. Like, who glue your lashes?
As a black female, Mandy, you're on to something. We have been trying to figure out what can we do with our hair and work out.
Man, y'all need to come out with some lines. Full game bundles.
Got to be. It can't be glue, but it got to be something to hold it down.
It can't be.
It can't be
because these girls are out here like straight hooping in lace fronts and nails. And
lashes for me. I'm sitting here.
The white girls be having the lashes.
Yes. And that
the goes line, in all places.
They are wearing these lashes. And I'm like, I don't even wear lashes. Let me go get my lashes done.
Girl.
Cute, what is man, the
girls, and they still play, and they just hoop it. I think that's the thing too. It's like the level of just, I don't know, greatness. Hey, I'm gonna get a little sad because I know Kobe
this is his dream.
Oh, with his daughter.
But well, this is his dream. He been campaigning for WNBA.
His daughter was gonna be at UConn this year.
What?
Like, this, it hits me to see women's sports, like, blow up like this. And knowing that this is what
his aunt,
It's emotional.
I did get emotional just
even if we think back to this year's NBA, the NBA All-Star, the three-point contest with Steph versus Sabrina Ionescu.
And they had,
who was very close with Kobe. She spoke in his service. Like, she's very close with Vanessa.
Yeah.
So, he would have loved that.
He would have lived.
And so they're saying next year for a marketing thing for both leagues that it could be like Steph and Clay versus Sabrina and Caitlin Clark.
And Caitlin.
Three-point shootout.
Because them girls be shooting.
I'll be honest with you. The All-Star Weekend.
Caitlin pulled All-Star up with a logo.
Could That's use some women part. Energy.
Yeah.
It's so boring now.
I think this year when they did that, the difference in three-point contest,
that was the most televised.
Like, it really brought something because you're like, you're really I love Steph as a Warriors fan, but I'm still rooting for her.
And she beat most of them dudes that qualified for the finals. In, like, she was tired of beating them.
She scored the most points ever prior to this year. But she had scored the most points.
Of course.
But he still barely beat her. He barely beat her.
He did. I just feel like women's sports is just, like, I'm inspired because I was definitely, like, growing up, I was the mama from Love and Basketball. Like, Monica, go put on a dress. Like, what are we doing? Why are we trying to hoop a dress? Like, I was very much Alfre Woodard, like, no, ma'am. What are we doing, Monica? Like, I was
cheerleader. That was my cheerleader. Shirt. Let's go.
Yeah, let's go. I was very much Alfre Woodard, nice. Like, Monica, baby. Oh my God, what are we doing? You want to hoop with Q? Like, no. But now I'm like, yeah, my daughter, she can hoop. We can do this. We can make this. NIL too. I feel like game makes changer. A big difference because. These women got more followers yep. than the men.
Mm. They rapping. They got
listen. Angel Reese got like almost 3 million followers on Instagram. Like these,
you know what was interesting.
She announced her WNBA. Uh-huh. Like I'm gonna leave college and go to the in a Vogue magazine.
Think about what like, that did for WNBA. I just, like, come on.
What Vogue? That's how you announce you. Entering the draft.
We are in a new era for women's sports, and let this be the renaissance. Yeah. Like, we are literally seeing the renaissance.
Because I'm there.
I cannot. I'm so excited.
I will say, I have to give a shout out, a pioneer shout out to my girl, June Ambrose. She's seen this coming. She did. If you remember, we had a collection with the WNBA, what, a year or two ago with Puma? And I feel like she's seen it coming. I went and seen her speak. What was it last year? I went to Detroit at the Black Foot Reform and she was there. She was a keynote speaker and she was basically saying, oh, the Renaissance is coming. She was saying, the Renaissance is coming. If you know any girl basketball players, if you know anything, get your whatever you got product, get your hand. They're look because they need it now. Like brands wasn't even checking for them. So this is the perfect time to jump on it. So I will have to give a shout out to my girl, June Ambrose, for being a pioneer and seeing the Renaissance. Yep, we're here.
Because even today, the WNBA announced that Caitlin Clark is supposed to go number one in the draft.
We know that. She's going and I will say this, and well deserved. I'm not going to hate on her because it's not her fault that stories have turned to this.
So what I'm saying is, we're already in the Renaissance because they just announced that they're going to be showcasing 36 of their 38 games on primetime.
And they do not do that.
Come on now.
Like the Aces, they're showcasing the Aces is 35 games. Indiana Fever is 38 games. And I believe the New York Liberty is 30-something.
Dawn said that in her speech at the end when they were getting the trophies and all this stuff, she said she thanked Caitlin for putting eyes on their league and saying that she's going to put even more eyes on the WNBA. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that girl get all them girls in the WNBA raises, what can you say?
The only thing that I'm not say worried about, which I know is money's going to come because we're going to watch.
It's but coming. I mean, it's women.
Viewership comes money. They can't pay them for gonna something come. That they're not.
It's going to take a minute. It's going to take a minute.
Yeah. Like, I just learned, because I was looking at, like, we have a WNBA team here, the Atlanta Dream. I thought, I'm like, okay, they play where the Hawks play. I didn't even know they play at a whole different arena. They play a whole different arena. I think it's raggedy, though. And I'm like, looking in the season. It is. But they used to play where the Hawks play, but they were losing.
Well, because the seats ain't filling. They open it. All these people they have to hire for that event that ain't, you know.
But now, like, and I was looking tickets, like, it is the Caitlin Clark effect. Like, the tickets used to be $25, baby. They already
do. They know where she's going.
Indiana.
But so here's the interesting thing too. So yes, her and the first pick, Aaliyah, Boston are gonna be on the same team.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she took Aaliyah Boston played for South Carolina, and last year was her senior year when they lost to Iowa.
And she also did some commentating. So that's something we didn't talk about. And we could talk about that real quick.
She's crying.
Okay.
Black women. Oh, they did a show.
ESPN, that would be a show.
A weekly.
A TNT
week.
Version with women, though?
ESPN did all the commentating. So they had my girl, Elle Duncan, Chanae, does she still play for the Sparks? I don't know if she still plays for the Sparks, but she's a WNBA player.
Still play.
Andrea and Aaliyah Boston. Was that the four? I think that was the four. Mm-hmm. And they gave so much analysis. I mean, it was so good. And then all of them are black. And so it's like just black excellence. Yeah. Like just black.
I really love this for y'all.
Come on, black women.
I love this for y'all. I love this for y'all. Y'all. I love this for y'all.
Like Jasmine. Because I used to come to your games, yes. but I didn't know what was going on. Okay. I didn't know there was positions in basketball. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so confused. I just thought you just, yeah. everybody get the ball and shoot it. You know, I didn't have
Jasmine,
clue.
Don't start. Get We're the not going to do this. You're not going to do this to us. We know you was a ball
now,
player.
Now, I'm
know.
Like, oh, she's yeah. a big. She's a point guard. She's sense. A shooting guard. Oh, she a legal screen. I was like, oh,
it was good.
Like,
and then they even got like some marketing stuff now, like the shirts that say everybody watches women's sports. It's become like a thing, and like they sell these sweatshirts now. Mm-hmm. It's like,
also, I also want to say, you know, Portland is just known for just being really liberal and just the first to do a lot of things. But we actually have our first ever sports bar that only shows women's sports, and it's geared towards just women everything. Right. And it's a women's
sports bar. We should host a podcast out of there. That'd be dope.
I know. And it's so dope. It's so dope. Like, it's all only women's sports.
That would be cool. If we did a podcast out of there.
But you know what I also thought about Jasmine? I'm a little scared for the girls too, because I didn't realize how close the WNBA season is. It starts next month. Like, they're getting drafted on Monday, and like
but
the
that's
WNBA
good for
starts,
them because
like,
they're already conditioned,
yep.
so they don't have to worry about conditioning.
That
that's actually good.
Okay, I was a little when I realized that, I was
no,
like,
they're fine.
Wait, what are you
but in
about
a way,
the
Jasmine, they got to learn how to play with a whole
well,
team.
Well, it's gonna be another
them girls. They gonna get bullied. I ain't gonna lie. Like seeing some of their stories, like when Candace and all them.
They're going to get hazed worse, though, because I feel like
you think you coming
these girls are going to be mad.
You think you coming in? That girl
about
you,
the amount.
These grown women. They grown women.
Different here.
These are women with husbands and
to play
kids.
For yeah, I'm not just playing for an NIL deal. Yeah, it's different. It's like.
And we also got to talk about, like, this is also the girls that they were able to get endorsement deals in college, where a lot of these
they
women
make
not.
More money on NIL.
These girls, they make more money than
that's
they do in the
I'm
WNBA.
Saying, I'm scared for these
like,
girls.
Like, they say is the highest paid. The white lady that was hating on. She makes the most at like 200 and something thousand. Caitlin and Angel, they in millions.
But like from the WNBA, they first year they only get 75 grand.
And there's more coming their way.
Well, and that's why and during the offseason, Brittany Griner, they go to other countries to play.
Dog, you can't pay me that to go to Russia.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
If I'm Brittany, I'll never leave
like
country
Monica,
again.
I'm going to Spain.
Right.
Now we represent love and basketball. What is wrong with
because
this?
I know y'all can relate to that.
I just pray. Because what I'm really understanding now, like I pray that this just continues to grow and there's expansion.
I'm sorry.
They
can start chopping some of these NBA chicks because half of them ain't doing nothing anyway.
I agree. Their minimums and maximums in the NBA
maximums
is
crazy. They get all of this, it's time to start chopping at this.
Like, I think like Jason Tatum contracts like what almost 400
is truly still in checks is what's old boy used to play Ben Simmons.
I was just about to say that shit.
That
boy is cashing checks.
Dude ain't even playing full speed in like
four
years.
This unrelated, but y'all seen Jalen Hurts was there.
Yeah, I did see him there.
Watching him,
Mandy, you got your head busted. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
I'm watching him. Why was he at the game? Why he need to be there? We know Don Staley from Philly, and she loved him.
Your
but
head about to get busted. Stop stalking that man.
He was on a little. He was.
I seen him too, but stop stalking that man.
He was on their list. Okay, last part. What do y'all think about the quote unquote like WNBA quote unquote hating on Caitlin, like Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird and all
can
them?
I go first?
To
can
I go first?
That part
they gotta hate her.
I agree.
Diana,
I'm just gonna say,
is 40 years old. Sit down.
What we cannot do is not give Caitlin her props for the visibility that she has brought on this sport. There are men who never would have paid attention to this sport if it was not for Caitlin. Do I think that they have gone too far? But it's the same. I can argue it's the same effect that they did with the Taylor Swift. Anything that they feel like is going to bring them more money into whatever the situation is, they're going to push it. Caitlin has gotten them more ratings. Ratings equals money. So anytime they can throw a picture, it's it's almost like what's going to make me the most money is going to be Caitlin.
Man, so, the last time we seen this was LeBron going to the league. Like, had, that's insane to me. Like,
people show up to the open practice for the South Carolina Iowa game.
Practice.
17,000 people show up to watch practice. Practice. We don't talk about our game.
We talk about practice. But let's talk about it. I mean, like,
it is unbelievable watching this girl run down a court and shoot from the logo.
Let's be honest, though, she is made it exciting. And so what I'm not going to do is, although there's been some negative situations, it's the same thing we talked about with Taylor Swift, right? Although it's not her fault that these publications are pushing all this. It's not her team that's telling them to put her picture up over our South Carolina girls. Like,
the great white hope.
It's not her fault. It's a Taylor Swift.
It's a great white hope phenomenon. Everything that's popular in the United States. I hate to put on my Dr. Umar card, but I'm about to. Everything that is popular in the United States is dominated by African American people. So you have a sport like basketball. On both sides, women and men, it's us. Okay, we're playing it, we're dominating it, we're the best. So you have a phenomenon of a white girl from Iowa,
of all places. Which I went to school in Iowa. For those who do not know, I met people that went to my university that have never seen anybody but a white person until they went to college. They have never seen a real me in real life. Until they met me in college. That is a real thing. So imagine
a great white hope coming in this black dominated sport and doing what she did. Didn't go to a top school. Made the school a top school. Okay. Because I'm not going to lie. Looking back, I'm not going to lie. The only thing I ever knew about women's basketball growing up was UConn going in. That's just all I knew. Stanford, UConn, Tennessee. Yeah. Like, those were the three. And if you knew if a girl was good at basketball, she go into the one of those three, they going to win.
Because UConn was a powerhouse forever.
So, I understand. Man, Gino won like 11. Yeah, it was ridiculous. How many he won? Yeah. 11? Like, so, for me, I get it. But my problem is putting on my Dr. Umar hat. The problem is, yes, she's great. Absolutely breaking records, doing everything that she's doing, but it's because she's white and that seemed like a phenomenon in a black dominated area. That Larry is Bird, like
all over again.
But could we argue the same thing about,
for instance, a Simone Biles? What made her get the most,
because that wasn't a dominatedly white sport.
I felt like it was, though. I mean, as far as like
Gabby Douglas was before her.
But even Gabby got tons of press because you weren't used to seeing this black girl winning all these medals. Mm-hmm. So I can say the same thing.
What about a white person winning a 100? That would never happen.
As long as our African countries are up in there. As long as our island countries are up in there, it barely happens for the United States.
Honestly.
But that's how they treated Caitlin. But that's what we don't win them. So, but what I'm saying is, like, that's what they're treating us like. This is like their great white hope. So it's like when you have white America, they're watching because they want her to beat these black girls. They want her, like, the vitriol of these Iowa fans online. Like, the reason why it was a big deal last year when LSU won, because all the racist stuff when they played South Carolina last year.
That's all it is.
Like, it's just so much racism involved. And then you got them, like, the media doesn't help. Like, when South Carolina won, CNN posted an article about the winners and had a picture of the Iowa team on the thumbnail. And so many people commented and
it started with Baller Alert. We're going to give Baller Alert their credit because they were the first ones to actually comment and say, what about a picture of the actual winners?
Thank you. Like, what are we? But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's more so of, I explain this to people. I don't hate Caitlin Clark. I hate what she represents in America, into white America, and it gives them this pride of like, we're finally beating them in something. And look, you wouldn't know who Angel Reese is if you didn't know who she, like, the stuff that they say out of their mouths.
They were saying she on was Twitter, Angel Reese was on classless. Fox News, she was on, all these different things. We're doing the
they
same
made her they villainized her.
They made her and they overly sexualized her. There was the article when they played UCLA, they called them dirty debutantes. Compared, they said if you were rooting for LSU, you were rooting for basically anarchy and evil. And UCLA are the cookie cutter white girls you should be supporting. And they're spicy Louisiana hot sauce compared to. And it's just like, it's just the nothing we can do in America. You can't take race out of any. It's so hard to take race out of anything. Because if Caitlin Clark was black, people would be watching. But I don't think it would have reached this height if she was black. Because we have Maya Moore. We got all these up and coming black girls too. Like, I love Juju so bad. Like, I will really like, that's my girl. Like, we have all these up and coming black girls. I just feel like, yes, I'm happy that Caitlin brought the eyes because now people are staying. Because what the black commentators made a good point is that, yes, Caitlin Clark brought the eyes, but the stars kept people watching. You go. They kept the attention. So it's like, yeah, you're watching to see her, but you also seeing one of the, like, some of the greatest basketball being played. Like, I watched the whole entire women's tournament. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, from first round to the last game, there was not one bad game. Even when South Carolina was whooping up on people by 30, it got close for a second. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and then Don Staley got into that butt at halftime and they came back and beat people by 30. But like, all of these games, all of these new girls, the stars, like, I just feel like, okay, yes, we can give her props, we can give her credit, the people watch, but our girls kept them watching.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
They kept engaged. They kept them
entertained. They were the entertainers. They were the entertainers.
For sure. She was the name, but they brought the play and the actual entertainment, because it wouldn't be no fun to watch her just run through everybody.
That's true.
It wouldn't be no fun. And I'm sorry.
I was just going to say,
She lost twice. It's not the first time that she lost in the Natty. She lost last year to LSU. That's why they also don't like black teams. Because LSU just beat them last year, and now another black team beat them this year. So it's just like
zero.
Leaving with nothing. Sorry.
But we're going to end it with this because we are just proud of everyone. We are proud of our women.
Those teams play hard.
Caitlin, give you your props. You played hard. But we go give our girls, they props. South Carolina, y'all bigger props.
Period.
And we can't wait to see what y'all do next year. We will be rooting for
you. Oh, I'm locked in. I'm locked in for years to come, baby. I'm paying attention to who transferring. Yeah. I'm paying attention to Don. That got another up big that's coming next year. South Carolina will be back next year. They got to say all them young girls coming back.
Recruit whoever her recruiting team is. Like, kudos to y'all.
They be working.
I mean, my God, like,
they be working hard.
I have to end this by saying, Don ain't gonna get up there and preach too.
Because
when she
got to
crying, I was sitting at home crying my eyes. She couldn't even talk for like 10 minutes.
It was emotional.
And I was just crying with her. And when she said, "The God I serve," I said,
"Come on, Dad."
Because the God.
She's up there preaching now.
And she said, "Uncommon favor."
Uncommon.
Ooh. I don't preach, but that would have been my sermon the next week.
That's what somebody said. Hey,
for all the pastors, I missed your moment.
Come on, Beth. I need you to write it down. Uncommon favor. I need you to get up there. I need you to do it because
that is a word.
That's a word. And that's just all I want to say. At the end of the day,
thank you, Lord.
I love us black women. And we just man, these women out here having babies and then going playing basketball.
Maybe try they pregnant
games.
Playing.
I can't comprehend. So kudos to y'all ladies out here. And I hope that y'all get the shine that y'all deserve this year. I hope the WNBA grow because I will be participating Might buy the league pass. It's only $34. Why not? You know, I might support my fellow sisters. You best
get a court-size seat.
I'm trying. If the Atlanta Dream write me back on the email, I mean, I'm trying.
Yeah.
They got like a ticket combination where you could choose any five games for like $100.
But this is also
if you email me back,
the people that own them teams, y'all know Michelle Williams owned a part of the Chicago team, so she getting paid. She been on
really? I didn't know that.
Well, Asia Wilson shot her shot at Beyonce and was like, "Come buy a team, Beyonce."
Oh.
Michelle may be like part of Chicago.
Let me see what's in my cowboy coins. I don't know. Real quick.
What did they probably only sell it for like $3 million?
A couple of people own a couple of the girls' teams, but yeah, I know Michelle Williams been owning the Chicago Skyliners a couple of years. I don't know if she still does, but I know a few years back she did though. So
y'all, I love this.
See, that's
a lot of women own those, like a lot of black women on the team. So.
Come on, Beyonce, you need a team. Harvey. I agree with Asia. Okay.
But now, y'all, we have given the flowers. It is time for us to talk about some crazy. Because as we are giving our women flowers for being beautiful black women, we got to talk about the issues about Potomac that we are seeing, especially as it relates to race / colorism, bullying.
Mine.
And just... things that lying and things we just do not like to see from an all black
lying by omission.
So let's give some context to our listeners. Like we said, Potomac, really, really boring season, but we will talk about these beautiful black women. They're also beautiful ladies. Like reached a point in this season where we're like, nobody really likes each other. And so it's getting really unbearable to watch. So a lot of us have been really turned off from this season because it hasn't been fun. It's been really just like dark and just like almost kind of bullyish and just not really fun to watch. So
it's like a social experiment gone wrong.
Yeah. That's what it's like. So like we literally have like remnants from the previous season where they tried to take down once again someone's husband and really made impacts to his ways of living that kind of trickled into this. We had a girl that threw a glass drink at another girl and then everybody jumped on the girl who was attacked and blamed her for it versus the other girl. And we're seeing that, unfortunately, the light-skinned women are the ones that have been more of the antagonist and outseeing a lot of the darker-skinned women on this cast.
Yeah.
And so when the colorism word comes up, it has been alleged, you know, the conversations don't go deep, but we're going to talk about Giselle. We're going to talk about Robin, who have been on this show since season one and have had some pretty... not so great conversations when it comes to other cast members about the color of their skin.
Color, race.
Also, it's almost an anomaly as we talk about Giselle because she loses her father this season, who was a civil rights activist that we also met, took us on his plantation, on their old plantation that turned that into a museum, really gave us rooted history into, you know, the civil rights movement and just how they're still fighting for different things. Great episode. Yeah. Probably one of the best episodes Giselle had because we ain't really know nothing about her. So
don't care to.
We talked to you guys in previous episodes about like the season finale. So season finale, a big fight breaks out. We told y'all that like Candace really wasn't even the one that got into the fight, but it was about Candace with one of the girls who accused her husband of like trying to cheat on Candace with her, even though he didn't even look at her. Candace, of course, has a mouth, said a couple of words about the girl. Girl got in Candace's face, and then she actually throws a drink at Candace. Everyone starts holding Candace back because they're like, girl, we don't want you to fight. But her friend ends up getting into the fight and it turns really bad. But everybody still blamed it on Candace, which is so crazy. Again, Candace is a dark-skinned woman and you see these light-skinned women that are not really standing up for her except for her other friend who's dark-skinned, which is crazy. So then we get into the finale. We told y'all about Mia. Mia's kind of like, we'll talk about Mia at the very end because she really doesn't have much to do with this portion of the conversation. Yeah.
But she turning tricks to be on the show.
I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. But we're going to dig deep into Potomac today because there was some clips in this season finale that we think are really important as Black women for us to discuss and talk about, that this cast, to Wendy's point, don't have the diff.
Don't have the range.
Or the range to be able to have a conversation on colorism. And as viewers, what we are seeing from this cast. Okay, so we talked about Giselle. Giselle's making comments as if her and Robin has never, they don't, Robin literally fake cries. And I'm going to say fake cry because not a tear came out of her
eye. All the time.
She literally fake cried about like how it really affected her that Candace called her colorist. Right. And when I tell you the internet lit her up because it was like not a cry to be had. Like,
but
not
you know
a
what?
Wait,
Marla. The thing is, Candace never called any of them colorists. She even started off last reunion by saying, I don't believe no one on my cast is a colorist, but we must talk about how this could affect us or how this comes across to other people. So anyway.
So going. That's really important. She never called in, but they will not acknowledge that.
Never did.
This girl started crying. And so Jasmine has a clip of like a conversation that Robin and Giselle had with a former castmate about color.
Season one.
As we may have some listeners who are not Black and do not know what colorism is, I think it's important for us to also define what is colorism and like what does it stem from?
Let me look it up for you.
While she's getting the exact definition. And within the Black community, and this goes all the way back to slavery, when either you were in the house or on the field. And that was determined by the color of your skin. If you were of a lighter complexion, it was called the paper bag test. Paper bag test means if you were lighter than the paper bag, you were in the house. If you were darker than the paper bag, you were on the field.
It was in the field.
It was also understood that if you were on the field, your life was, I mean, everyone's life was hard as a slave. Let's be very clear.
In different ways.
But you were out on the field. You had a very rigorous, labor-intensive job out on the field. Was not reverenced. Did not. You got the bare minimum, not even of anything. Yeah. If you were in the house, you had to tend to the family, whether that was cooking, cleaning, their housemaid, raising kids, sometimes even having Massa's kids, because
they were raped a lot.
Some Black women, which is how we also have white lineage in within our African American history. This is stuff that, you know, they don't want to talk about anymore. We're going to talk about it today. So
I have the definition,
and we'll get to the definition, but that's where the word colorism kind of starts to play, where within our own communities, light skin, there was a thing where light skin people always felt like they were better and more could pass a little bit more as white adjacent to have it a little bit easier than a dark skinned person. And so that still today sometimes can come out in how we as a people treat each other according to the color of our skin. So we'll go into the definition, Mandy. Go ahead.
So the actual definition from the Oxford Dictionary of colorism is prejudice or discrimination against individuals with a dark skin tone, typically among people of the same ethnic or racial group.
So, and you're wondering, like, why does this thing keep coming up? Within the last few seasons, it has been very evident. I mean, we even call them the green-eyed bandits. Like, the lighter-skinned women seem to band together and always seem to have issues. Ironically,
but not even just issues
with the darker skinned women, and they are kind of really mean to them in a sense of ousting them from events, treating some of the, you know, their family, you know, wrong, coming at them in ways that they would not come at some of their counterparts in that way.
But I think I want to add to that because I think it's deeper than that, because they can combat that by saying, oh, well, I beef with Karen. I beef with Ashley. That's not, when we say colorism, it's how they, what is the word? It's how
stereotype.
They describe an event with a darker skinned person. It's how they villainize a darker skinned person.
She was aggressive.
Attack. Mad. angry. It's, oh, it was so bad for physical assault when it was Monique. But when it's Mia, oh, she didn't assault you. She didn't. Mm-hmm. She just threw
and
a
Mia's drink lighter in. Skin. Exactly.
Like when they do the same thing that a darker skinned person do, it's almost like they get a pass. Mm-hmm. When Robin, to me, is the most aggressive person on the show. I mean, season one, threatening to fight Katie at the reunion, saying there needs to be security there, to the umbrella situation with Monique, to pulling up on Ashley at her restaurant trying to mm-hmm. fight her. I mean, like, there's so many other... Like there's so many other instances where these women are so aggressive, so mean, so bullying, but they will never get those labels. Nope. They will never get,
they don't get the same headlines.
That type of vitriol because inherently a lot of people see their proximity to whiteness and they just assume that it's just a one-off thing or it's just a, oh, she was just mad that day. Or they're not really aggressive. You, what did you do to bring it out of them? Mm-hmm. Because they're seen in this very angelic way, and that is a lot similar to racism of, oh, when black men will catcall a white woman is, oh, you can't have her, what did you do? Or like if a black woman is raped, what did you do to make him want to do that to you? It's like those type of tropes with them. It's never, oh, Mia, you was wrong. Oh, my God, you should have never threw no drink through no purse and tried to fight her. It's, no, Wendy, you antagonized her. Mm-hmm. Like, you really caused her to act that way. She does not act that way. Mia is not that way. Like, it's so deep. And they just, mm-hmm. they don't value them. No, they just don't.
And they're the smartest ones in the room.
They just can dog them out. And I don't know. Like, and it's just, like, growing up, I've never had an experience with colorism. But the Midwest is very different, I will say. Like, us being from the Midwest, we're very segregated.
Really just black and
really
white.
With our own people for the most. It's really like, it's just white. Really black and white. It's not really any nuance to it. It's just
Missouri was the last slave state to segregate. My mom was a part of desegregation of schools, not my grandmother.
Yeah.
Leave that.
Yeah. They still actually have that. They just don't call it DSEG. But
they don't call it that. Like, the white people live here, the black people. Like, we just are not used to these, like, kind of like, I won't say like nuanced things, but like, as I get older and I see it, like, I never was in a place in my life where I looked at my skin color and thought anything. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I never was like, are they treating me like this? Cause I'm like, growing up, I used to be darker because I was always in the sun.
I will say,
I didn't know my real skin color until I went to college.
If you look at our family, and we are all pretty different shades.
All shades.
It's like, literally.
And everybody could get it.
We don't have that. You got light to light to dark to dark.
So it's like, we didn't grow up with this. But as I feel like the first time I could probably like say like colorism or anything kind of like that kind of like came into my conscience would probably be college, or even just learning about Black Greek letter organizations and like the history there. And like, there's just so much deep history with colorism. And like you said, it started off with them separating us, period, for
That's
slavery.
Really,
like,
where
oh,
it
you
started.
Like, you, like, it started there, like, oh, you look more like us. You can be in the house. I could tolerate seeing you every day. But you Black, you need to go out here and be in the sun anyway. Like, and so inherently, like, from that, of course, you're going to find resentment there. Like, and it's sad that as Black people that we have to constantly talk about this, but proximity to whiteness is a privilege.
It's
just the truth.
It is.
I mean, like, even connecting it back to like sports and how people was talking about, there ain't no Black people in Iowa. There's clearly a beautiful, tall, mixed girl, Hannah Skokie, but nobody's like,
even
because she's light, because she's mixed, like, she don't get the Black. She has two puff balls.
And as an HR person, I will tell you that there is a thing about if they do hire a Black person, a lot of times some people will say that lighter skinned people have it easier with getting jobs. Like, that is something that is really said. And I'm not saying that. That's not an experience, but that is an experience.
Yeah.
So
being racially ambiguous gets you a lot of things. Yeah. Like it's so weird. And I just feel like them, quote unquote, being these educated Black women, they should be able to have this conversation. Yes. And then for Giselle to say, my dad was in the civil rights movement, I went to an HBCU and I'm an AKA. Okay.
Your point is.
And?
So, still right. Black. We're not saying you're not Black. That doesn't describe you being colorist. And so it takes like the right interviewer to know what mm-hmm. to say in that moment. To be like, and that well,
Wendy,
nothing-
I will give Wendy her 10. I will give Wendy her 10s because she shut down the conversation and explained it even to Andy where he understood. When she made the analogy about racism and how, okay, people always are down on the fact that, oh my God, you called me racist. I can't believe you called me racist. Oh my God, I am not racist. Trying to fight that. That they don't take the time to think, well, what did I do to make you think,
led you to believe?
To believe that I'm racist. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with colorism. Yeah. It's like, okay, what did I do to you to make you feel that I am treating you a certain way because of the color of your skin?
No, they won't even acknowledge like that anything like that ever happened.
Yeah.
Like that's their thing.
It's a
they don't even want to say that, even try to see that perspective.
I was going to say, I don't understand why, well, I guess we're leading to the same point, where nobody has ever brought up the fact with Katie and how they just badgered her about her race.
Let's lead.
Yes.
To say she was Black or white.
Let's lead into it. Let's go. Let's go to the clip. Let's go. Season one, y'all.
You didn't really bring up an issue. What you did was, unfortunately, you were standing there watching everybody dance and have a good time and being judgmental and then coming over to me and saying something that was completely ridiculous, which is that Michael's groping Andrew's butt. And then you said, is that a white thing?
Yes. That's like the most ignorant. Date white men. You were married to a white man.
So? Oh, I'm the expert on white people.
I didn't say you were the expert.
Because there's a difference.
You might have a better answer than me.
So there's a difference between white people and Black people and biracial people?
There's a difference between Black people and white people's experiences.
I don't know what Robin's problem is, but it seems like she always needs help with it, and I really can't help her.
You really wanted to know the answer.
I mean, I'm
asking. Find a white guy and ask him. Why are you asking me?
You were standing there.
I'm not sweating it. I really don't care. I really don't care. Okay. I really don't.
Katie has no business calling me or Robin biracial, and she knows what we are. There's nothing wrong with Katie being biracial, obviously. But to be ignorant enough to call us that is not necessary.
The reason why I said that to you guys was because I was trying to point out what it's like. You're all offended by what's said to you that I say that's kind of like, you know, inflammatory. But you said something inflammatory to me. I was showing you your hypocrisy. That's what I was trying to point out to you. That's why I said, listen, Blondie, with your green eyes, why don't you, like, look into your own family history? Because you bring up race all the time. It's stupid. It's offensive to me that you think that I'm not a Black woman. I'm not just African American. I'm also Caucasian. I'm biracial. What the hell is wrong with that? And why do you have such a problem with it? And why do you have a problem with me?
Because that's not what you said. That is what I said. That's not what you said.
Well, fine. What's your problem with it anyway? You acted like it was a problem with it.
You acted like it was a problem to be Black.
Her usual.
Way as usual,
because she got that smoke and Katie, hey, they need to bring that Katie back. That girl was reading.
She needs to get her mind together.
She a little bit
She 100 sheets to the wind. I mean,
things that happen in life. Dog.
Yeah, she's been in a couple.
But let's talk about the clip though. I will say, completely inappropriate. Like they've said since day one, they felt compelled to say something to Katie about her own race when y'all got green eyes. Do your own lineage. You think
I just don't understand that, Marla. Like these
girl, what do you think Creole is?
Thank you.
You're white.
You're white.
And what's crazy is you know the history of your family. You sat here and your daddy literally reclaimed the plantation, which means that it's somewhere white right blood was mixed with y'all to even have these kind
of veins, girl.
Like, and that's most of us, and that's most Black people who have descended.
I ain't gonna lie, when
America.
I first saw Robin, I thought she was white or mixed. I did.
I thought they both.
Maybe you were both of y'all rocking blonde hair. It was a good question. I mean,
I really thought Robin was mixed. Like, to be honest, like she was like Giselle. I was like, okay, Creole, whatever. But Robin, I was like,
If I didn't see her parents, I still think she was lying.
But to me, it's even more about them being offended by it. And so, it stems back into this conversation of you love to be white adjacent, but when you are called out for it, all of a sudden you want to show that you're a black woman. But up until these moments, you don't really care when to the privileges have that come. Side.
Yeah, when the privileges come for it, you're cool. Because I think we're also forgetting how this show was first framed. This show was framed as, if we want to keep it 100% a book, they were supposed to be the classy blacks. They were. Mm-hmm. The etiquette blacks.
Yes, they were.
Antithesis to Atlanta, which was the only black franchise on The Real Housewives. Yep. So they came out as this very exclusive. And because even if you look down to the city that they called it, because they live in D.C., but they wanted to make it such of a niche, such exclusive. So they named it Real Housewives of Potomac so we could say,
what,
like,
is Potomac?
Wait. And we got into it because, that's exclusive. Oh, those are the rich blacks. Oh, those are
robbing no nerve.
And the whole first season was about living in a bedroom apartment. And the whole first season, they live in Baltimore. Some of them live in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So it's like they framed this show to be the antithesis of Atlanta, where Atlanta has always had beautiful brown and dark skin women. I don't think, have there been like really like that many light skinned women on Atlanta?
Oh, I mean, you can say, like, thinking about it, you can say. Well, it depends.
They had a white woman. I'm about to say they went all the way to it. They got to it.
Sean is brown. Nah. Lisa. Lisa Wu, which she's Asian.
They brown.
Half black, half
Asian.
They
were brown. Nobody looks like.
They were brown.
I feel like it was a specific choice. Yes. It was a specific choice to cast these women in this quote unquote exclusive city that no one has heard of. And then to frame it, because I read the Real Housewives book. Okay. And they were very adamant about, when Potomac came out, the producers told them this was going to be about etiquette and society.
That's why it was so big on
Jack
the first
and Jill.
Because
remember, their first fight was about Giselle sitting at the wrong birthday seat at the table.
At
her and
birthday.
Karen was arguing about etiquette and that. And they framed it, and they framed them to be the upper
echelon. But when you talk about that,
black.
That's all that is.
And
it does that's baked into that.
They cast light skinned women.
Yeah.
Think about it. The original cast, the only dark skinned one was Charisse.
That is true.
And they got her out of there by season two or three. Yeah. Okay.
Season two.
And then they brought on Monique and Candace, and then boom, problems arrived. Then they brought on Wendy. Problems arise.
You wonder why.
So
you bring on these dark-skinned women who are also affluent. Let's talk about Monique and her mini houses. Let's talk about her and her not only her wealth, but what she did for communities and what she. Yeah. So you want to talk about upper echelon? Let's talk about how people looked up to her. Like, her whole organization looked up to her. The first thing that Giselle said when she met her,
where do you live?
And she said it in a nasty
way. Come down on her.
And I love Monique, because Monique was like, well, I have several houses, so which one?
Yeah. Which one are you talking about?
And then, so it always seems like when a dark-skinned woman come in, let's go even further, Candace. So then they try to paint a narrative on Candace like she don't fit because she got money from her mama. That's generational
wealth. That's all about.
That's what all of y'all don't have, and if you didn't have it,
But I think we can go even deeper. Even that, the fact, if you look at all of the dark skinned women that have come on this show, they have to be so much better.
Because Ashley was a restaurant. Ashley's a restaurant server selling kangaroo with her
sugar daddy.
Her sugar daddy.
Katie had nothing. Robin was broke. Giselle had nothing.
Robin was
Karen, maybe.
Let's talk about it. They hated Charisse too because Charisse had a champagne room.
She had money.
Baby yeah. said, I'm going to just renovate a champagne room for myself.
I think that's even colorism. I think that's even a definition of colorism. Is. That the fact that to you make it into this group as a dark skinned woman, you have to be so much better than them to even get a peek but into their circle you when these women are losers.
Yeah. And I don't even want to be
a social experiment. That's what this is. And it feels like social reproduction was trying to do. This seems intentional mm-hmm. reproduction.
They do.
It so was.
Then it makes me think, yes, okay, when you say who's colorist, is Candace referring to production being colorist?
I think yes, so.
Because they protect mm-hmm. her. And also think about the dark-skinned women who are on the show.
Yep.
All of them are married. All of them have supportive husbands. All of them have had money, either generational or money that they've created themselves. Mm-hmm. Whereas we look at Robin, Giselle,
Ashley, Giselle got cheated on from her pastor, and she's showing us this ugly house that's still being renovated and ain't cute.
Miserable.
She got a new man every season.
Remarried the man who cheated on her, and he's still cheating on her.
And still hating on her.
Still cheating on her.
We got Ashley, who can't even say Darby's name on camera because he's still affording her lifestyle.
She ain't leaving.
And pretty much got
and
her.
And then she rub his feet every night.
Yes.
Listen, this is what y'all are bringing.
That's why she's kicked off the show, just for that.
Wendy's husband can fund all of her endeavors that even
that
fail.
Man said they made $2 million in 6 months.
That man wrote her a check on the spot.
$50,000. Oh, you over on your budget, babe?
I got it. We got it.
That's a real housewife. And the ones that y'all are keeping, we're going to get to that. But like,
they have no storyline.
Colorism is so evident on this show, and so
now we're going to lead into why we're talking about even further. We get wind that we're like, finally, they're going to do something about this Giselle and Robin situation because they're the meanest girls of all of them, and they are rooted in colorism. I don't care what they say.
Yeah.
I don't care if it offends them or clutches their
pearls. Oh, wait. I don't think we ever talked about this. There is a theory.
Okay.
With Robin.
Oh, we got to talk about it. I wanted to bring it up, but allegedly,
with Robin and Gabrielle Union.
Not even just Gabrielle Union. Every woman that he cheated on her with.
That he cheated on her with.
The first time was dark-skinned women.
And Gabrielle Union was one of the
allegedly signed. Allegedly signed.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Throw it up. And I'm pretty sure we looked into Jamal Bryant's congregation of women down here in the Atlanta
City.
I heard he didn't discriminate. His was all over the spectrum.
Well, that's even worse. She don't even know where to aim at.
I don't think he discriminated at all.
She don't even know where to aim at. So for me, it's just like, I think a lot of the colorism roots from past experiences with people. I think they feel less than. I think that
Wendy is multiple degrees. Come Dr. on there, call me Dr. Wendy. Yeah. Y'all had a problem with even calling her doctor. Mm-hmm. Like, she has to explain to you why her degrees requires you to call her
so
doctor.
Many.
Y'all borderline wanted her to show the documentation because you still was like, I ain't calling you that. Why not? Why won't you give this black woman her accolades for what she has done, whether you know her or not?
I mean, we could go further. NECA is quote unquote a lawyer. We ain't getting none of no lawyer in this thing.
Because
season.
She's too busy trying to be on their coattail so she can come back.
It's okay. They're gonna teach her something.
They're gonna turn on her. They're gonna turn on her. They ain't got no darts now. But she gonna be a dart.
But I feel like it's even a deeper conversation because we have Real Housewives of Atlanta. They've never had no colorism.
No,
I'm like, that's what I'm just saying. Really thinking back.
This is production's doing.
I just thought, they never had no colorism issues, no racism. And
what makes me so mad is the two girls that I thought had no problems with getting a contract to come back next season are the ones that are gone, which are.
Yes.
You know, Candace is taking a pause, but for all we know, she could have got wind. that she was going to get them exit papers. And so she leaped and jumped and said, I'm going to take a pause.
Yeah.
And then, well, then their excuse for Wendy is, well, now Wendy ain't got no friends on the show. So
ain't got no friends.
In the midst of that argument that they were having at the reunion, when she said, when Candace said, I'm done. I think that
she did quit. She quit. She did say, I'm done. Ooh. That was her quit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't catch that. In the middle of them arguing, Candace was like, yeah, I'm done. She did.
I think in that moment, she realized, I'm not coming back here. Like, this is not worth it.
Yeah.
I said it last time on the podcast. I will say it again. If you are willing to go low enough to accuse my husband of something, but then say you didn't really accuse him of it, but you actually did. I can't. That tells me that you are willing to go to the depths of hell.
See, that's too low
because you don't like me.
So let's go to clip two. Go to clip two because now we gotta get Giselle in her life. Let's talk about like how she keeps changing her story about Chris Bassett.
See that it would take anything, everything out of me. Honestly, not to be with a woman at that point
over my husband. Yes.
Am I making this up? He asked me to go. That made me feel uncomfortable.
She said, are you referring to the interview or confessional where she said the word made me go?
Yes.
If I'm misquoting, please correct
me. In an interview bite, you said,
no, I didn't.
Made me.
You
the
did.
Producers
yes,
are telling
did.
Me that
no.
you did.
Candace, last year I told you your husband made me feel uncomfortable because he made
ooh,
me.
Ooh, you need your head knocked off, boy. I knock her shoulders off.
That
on.
Is
woo.
What happened.
So what about all the things that she tweets about me?
The
consequences
of your actions. So now we're switching.
If Giselle holds herself accountable, what are you willing
thank you,
to
Wendy.
Hold yourself yes. accountable for?
I can hold myself accountable for the response.
Accountability inspires
it does.
Accountability.
It does. So if I said I didn't know what was
colorism
made, no, he asked me. He didn't make me. He asked me.
Can you accept that, Candace?
Shut up, nigga.
Girl, where you come from?
I want to smack her.
It always takes somebody. Someone always has to make a move.
It's not a victory. It's not a victory.
And Ashley, you could get punched too.
You were upset by my choice of words in referring to you.
Sit up here with your privileged, white-looking ass, and you think you can say whatever the fuck you want to say, and no one is going to bat an eyelash.
Wait. I should not have
used... I don't have no problem with that.
Those
me
words
neither.
To describe you.
I would have said it.
I wouldn't apologize.
I'm sorry that your children have dealt with death threats.
Man,
no, I don't take
she was crying.
Responsibility for
yes. this is colorism.
Death threats we because we have all received them at the hands of things that each of us have said. But I am sorry that that was happening to you.
Okay, progress.
Okay, it's a starting point. You know, I've had issues.
So she don't have to say sorry.
So.
But girl, that's no. colorism. You don't she have to say sorry.
You sit
no.
here and say it's because good. No, Giselle, no.
We're still not talking about the fact that this has literally caused their marriage pain, her husband to lose his job, for anybody working with him to be scared to even hire him as a chef, alleging.
And he was a private chef. So
that kind of connotation. Like, what are we
when
saying, Giselle? And even then, you're still doubling down and you're wrong.
You're wrong. You can't even apologize. Like, I can't even say I was wrong for saying that because it was incorrect. You can't even say.
Nope.
Well, you and know, the only thing that gives me saving grace when it comes to this, I just think about their lives and how miserable they are.
Miserable.
And I just be like, okay. Hi, Robin. Ashley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, like, a few months ago online, some woman was accusing Chris of saying that they had had sex and that she was pregnant and he told her to get an abortion and all this stuff. And then, of course, that turned out not to be true.
They still was talking about like it was
Giselle,
true.
No,
yeah, they still was like, well, why would she lie?
Not Giselle.
Robin.
Robin.
That was crazy.
And then we moving on. Hold on. We finna move on for a
minute. Let's talk about my man.
Because... Let's talk about your man ain't even got no check coming in right now and couldn't even show up for you for this reunion at all.
Now again. Y'all both don't got one.
So
again.
So knowing that this reunion was going to be about him allegedly cheating on you, he still left you for the birds and it had nothing to do. He probably sitting on the couch eating Cheetos and living his best life. Or, I don't know, texting another female for all we know. Because clearly he's not into you, Robin, because he's made it very clear. Right. Who, for all we know, he's still texting the girl in
he's
Canada.
Still at the laundromat. Right. Okay. Like,
but at the laundromat.
At the nail shop.
All the excuses of things that you have said that is so bizarre that you literally believe. You have some audacity. To be the one to question Chris Bassett on camera on this reunion.
I would have got physical.
About him.
No other way.
Baby girl. I got so maybe anybody else but you.
It would have gave Jocelyn and Stevie J at that reunion. It would have gave, babe, we just finna whoop. We just finna just get up and get the going.
Whoa. Don't you say two words to my man because where is yours? Amen. Goodbye. Next question.
Wasn't even
next question.
The way Candace should have got dirty there.
I would have went in on her.
Like, but you know, who this is talking when her man didn't even think of her enough to even come to the show and defend him for cheating?
This is why Atlanta will always be queen. Because Atlanta would never play these games. Like, the games that these Potomac women play with each other, Atlanta would never. The way that they all read each other so down at reunions and in Atlanta, like, that's what I'm trying to understand.
It's production, bro.
But Karen is good. I ain't gonna lie. That ain't a question that they give.
Oh, Karen be reading the girls down.
She don't have it like this.
But it's no fun. It's like how Carlos will talk about, like, on the newer seasons of, like, Atlanta, like, Kenya don't have nobody to spar with. That's how I feel with Karen. Like,
they ain't got nobody to give her.
Nobody can go back at her. No. Like when she said, "You can't remember how many people you had sex with." She said, "No, Robin, that would be one."
Okay, next question, Andy. Next question, Andy.
Immediately,
like, and that's what Candace.
And all Robin can say, "You know, yeah, that could be yeah."
When, Candace and Giselle and Robin going back and forth. Giselle thinks a go back is, "Oh, here she is calling them. She's calling them." That's not a comeback. That's not a read. That's not none of that. That is nothing.
They are
not
weak.
They're weak.
That's what I'm saying. Like, these girls could never be Atlanta.
Get them. God. And the best one is leaving. The reason why Candace is so reckless with her mouth is because they ain't giving her nothing.
They can't give her nothing.
Her somebody else to go
intellectual Karen property to like, her and Candace and Karen get along. So you ain't going to get
it. They never got into it.
If Wendy wasn't friends, I think they would give it to each other. I think they would give it to each other.
I do. Yeah.
And that would be good.
Yeah.
Because that's nice, nasty all day.
Yes.
Yeah. Because nobody else can read on a show. And that's why it's like when the earlier seasons, when the girls was trying to crown Real Housewives of Potomac as like the best, I was like, have y'all watched Atlanta? And the thing that's missing, and I say it again and all again and all again, is a common respect, courtesy, and friendship. In Atlanta, they all beefed, but let somebody from the outside come in. That scene when that girl tried to tell everybody that Tom was candy for the come up and they all clowned her in her face, they weren't even all getting along. But it's the fact that you're not going to bring an outsider in here and expect to cause some drama. But on Potomac, you got people bringing a Deborah and a Cookie Monster and the other
dragging folk into the club,
throwing bottles, calling people Happy Eddie and with the unibrow on, like, what are we?
But see, they have to do that because if you don't, then people are going to focus on what you got
it's
going
all
on.
All distractions.
Ashley, not getting divorced. She's still messing with your husband.
Not messing you with the man house. Got her in a chokehold because she failed miserably at getting that money and rolling out. She is stuck.
Had them two kids for nothing. Sorry to them babies.
Ain't no storyline. Yeah, you had them babies for nothing. Because ain't nothing
no storyline. You had them babies for nothing. Because when she first popped out the two kids, we like, oh, remember, that wasn't her prenup. She popped out two kids and stayed for 5 years. He put something in that mug that null and void is that. So you had them babies.
Baby, once he paid for that house, that was his way of shutting her up.
That was the dumbest thing she ever
You want these
done.
Payments paid? Then you better not talk about me house. On this show. You better only say good things about me, and I am never filming again, period.
And you know what I want to know? Where do Giselle get her money from? That man still paying her money or something? Jamal paying her child support.
Yeah, I mean, she still had child support.
She got two kids.
She still got two kids.
Because I always wondered, like, where's she getting this money from? She's never worked a day in her life.
Giselle could never be Nene. Because if Nene knew Kim's husband was cheating on her, they friends. But she gonna know what's good for the show.
Period.
Thank she you. Gonna bring it out. She not gonna Thank cover you. It up.
Thank she gonna you. Be like, nah, kill me, pop.
Let Robin get on. She tried to. Right. I will yeah. say they tried it with that little intervention they had at the beginning. And then Robin screamed, "I don't care."
But they knew that
only after they got dragged.
Yeah. So they had to do that. They had to do that. They got dragged. In quotation, she tried. That wasn't real.
But Shay, you bring up a really good point because NeNe did a lot of things for the betterment of the show.
For the show,
she used to kind of patch up beef with Kenya for a second, just to. Mm-hmm. You know, and it wasn't no Dr. Heavenly style do it for the show where it was obvious. Yeah. Yeah. But she will really, like, at the end of the day, she knew I'm the glue. I'm the star. But we got supporting cast members and everybody is needed. And we all got to figure out some type of common thread. There's no common thread. There's no common thread in Potomac.
It shows how trash Giselle is as a human being.
And then we're going to talk about the comments, Heavenly Red.
And Ashley to malign Chris in an effort to protect Juan.
I do. Yes. No way. I think that.
It's giving mean sorority girl.
She knew that by talking about my business, it would keep her business under the table.
We are in the here and now.
Yep.
What do you need from Robin to move forward? And I want to ask you the same question.
I don't have any tissue.
I do.
Oh, yes. Not tears.
That's all you got.
Giselle.
Tears.
Fuck
down. I do.
Fuck you.
Come on.
Fuck you.
Tears, tears, okay, tears, come on. Tears. Them fake tears be coming.
Okay.
You don't need to be a major.
Stop.
Okay.
Stop. I mean,
and
I
want to
say,
hold on, hold on. I just want to hear from her, and then I want to hear from you. I'm trying to.
You're so frustrated.
That was kind of mean.
It was kind of mean, girl. She's a fucking
good look. Yeah, I mean.
I'm not mad.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not mad at that.
This is why
I'm not mad at Candace at all. If Candace would have jumped across the stage and punched her, I wouldn't be mad about that.
Example why the show cannot.
They
would have
blamed it on her.
I know why she
responds to or does at this moment. I don't blame her for walking away. No matter what happens, they're going to paint her as the villain and the bad person. We can say for whatever reasons, but we know. It seems like the little light-skinned, green-eyed bandits can't do no wrong, even when they are doing wrong. Even Andy said that was so mean, and she kept going. And then you got Robin this
but you know
in
what?
The tears because she called me a colorist. But you literally are seeing your friends over here.
I think the real tea here, this is antics because Giselle woke up when she came to that reunion. Oh. I'm sitting next to Karen.
And I'm not that girl.
I'm not first chair.
Yep.
Oh, I'm not lying. Oh, people said I would never not be in this first chair. Oh, I have to do something. Because let her have been in first chair.
She wouldn't have even looked at Candace or Wendy. Like she did the rest of the season.
She would have did just like last season. Like, so... I just feel like it's all for show. It's all for play.
I do think we need to talk about one thing that I'm sure the audience is going to be like, y'all didn't talk about what? This. So Giselle, do you feel like Giselle had a right to feel some kind of way about Wendy and Candace having a reaction to her? Hold on, let me get it out. Talk about her daughter. And so for our viewers, so there was a scene where I forgot where they went on a trip. But Giselle started talking about like her daughter getting ready to go to college. She was going to FAMU. And so the cast starts talking about like, are you concerned? Because we also know, given this climate, the political climate of Florida for a Black person, is that really the best place for her to be going? Like, do you have some concerns? So she starts talking and, you know, Candace and Wendy look at each other and they make a face. And so she really blew it up and was like, how dare you make a face when I'm talking about my daughter? Like, Robin was the one that really, really tried to hype it up. But
when Robin was the one that disinvited Wendy's
Get to it. What are we talking about?
Revisionist history.
What are we talking about? Robin making a big fuss out of that when you literally told everybody, I don't like the mama, forget her kids.
Candace can bring the kids.
Can't come to a family day.
Candace can bring the kids.
Oh, Candace, you could go get the kids and bring the kids. That's not your kids to my event.
Otherwise, that can't come.
I agree with Candace. Business history. I agree with Candace.
I don't care about she be none of these
girls. She do.
She
girl,
do.
Nobody care about you. Girl.
Again, you said my husband basically accused him of being a creepy creeper, and all of that was okay. But then I allegedly made a face about your daughter.
He has children.
He has children. Right. Just
talked about Monique's child's paternity.
Yes.
This the same people we talked about.
Made that
about
a whole storyline.
Tried to make
but
that a
mad
huge
somebody
storyline about somebody.
Your
kid.
Daughter going and they rolled their eyes. If you don't get on my face.
But again, the problem is no one holds them accountable. Like the way that we are bringing all this up, like they don't get the edits. They don't get the like that's something that production to me would have brought up all of these things. And they would have told Andy, bring this up, bring this up, bring that up so they can talk
well,
about
it. Well, but didn't Candace and, or was it Wendy and Candace agreed with her that they asked about her daughter, was she going to be an AKA? Was she going to be this? Was she going to be that?
And they allegedly didn't have the audio.
Yeah, they didn't have
let's
the
be
audio
clear.
Or the video.
Giselle says she don't remember that conversation.
She never happened, the production didn't get it. She
it also just didn't remember the whole thing with Chris and her saying that he made her go to a room.
She is a liar.
Your credibility I have never is seen shot. Candace or Wendy lie. So I'm going to go with you.
Because I know for a fact, as an AKA myself, even if I'm beefing with you, I hear your daughter going to an HBCU, the first thing I'm going to say is, are you excited about her potentially? Like, you're going to bring that
but
up.
But this is a
like,
point I'm sorry, that doesn't get mentioned on the
first
show
thing
that,
I'm
that Wendy and Giselle are sisters.
They're sorority sisters.
So this even goes more into my theory of their, she's a colorist. Because it's like...
Colorism. Because they talk about it with Giselle, sister. But they do not talk about it
that's
with
your sister.
And...
They don't even let Wendy mention she's
historically, that is a problem. So we
in our sorority. I know for a fact you know about it. Because Giselle was back at an HBCU in those days.
Giselle gives me very much. She gives me very much. What is that? Jigaboo and the girls off.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies. School
she
days.
Gives me very
oh,
much. That is it's real. All of that for me. That's what she gives.
Because there are older sororities that felt like you shouldn't. She's not on the same level as me.
Okay. So with that, we are going to go into some of the comments. So there was we're going to talk about Carlos too, but Carlos and Heavenly had a podcast episode that came out this week. And it was specifically talking about Real Housewives of Potomac. And I actually thought it was really, really good.
Whenever Heavenly not talking about Married to Medicine, I'd be agreeing with her.
It was really
if
good.
If she
talks
about Married to Medicine, it's
because
she
be telling all
their
business.
I love it.
Adding on her 2 cents and doing too much. But yeah.
That part. So within it, if you haven't listened to it, you can probably listen on both of their podcasts because they both have a podcast. But I listened to the one for Carlos King. And so they got to a point to where like they were talking about Giselle real deep. And if you know Carlos, he is a Giselle fan. He loves Giselle, as he called her, Kobe Bryant. Like he named her as one of the best housewives on his podcast, like as a top. Like
top five.
I think she was like seven. I don't want to give her top five.
The fact she was top 10 is a problem for me.
I think she was top 10. I don't know if she was top 10.
Let me make it up.
But he loves Giselle. And so, but I will give him this. Within this season, he has said that something needs to shift and Giselle needs to figure it out and like get it together or else he don't think the network will ever put her on the chopping block.
Oh, she was number 9.
Thank you. Because I'll be listening to
number 12.
Okay, thank you. She was top 10.
She was number 9.
So then they got to what, because this was a live podcast. So they asked in the comments, like, do y'all think Giselle is mean? And the people
lit her up. Lit her up.
When I say it got to the point where Carlo said, okay, Heavenly, can stop reading it now. And she kept going. And she was like,
that clip.
She kept, I mean, the whole, there was not one person that said anything kind about her, except for I think she's needed for the show, but she definitely needs to figure this out.
What does she bring?
I don't know, but everybody was like, and Carlos, don't you stuff her down our face. Like, they was going in. And about Giselle. And then they said, well, Heavenly was like, well, people can say the same thing about me that I mean. They was like, nah, Heavenly, you just rude.
No, not that type of me. You just rude. No, like, she's evil. They said Giselle is evil. Yeah.
Like, she literally tries to bring down,
ruin people's lives.
Like, this is the perception.
At the reunion, she said, I've been the same forever. So imagine her as a first lady. Like, this.
See, I go back I couldn't imagine her being my line sister, like, my profile.
I've never changed in my life.
Maybe as a first lady, this whole little inner circle, like, you got to do things to be in my inner circle kind of vibe. That's where she gets it from. But
she used to be. She used to be catered to.
She used to be catered to, and people like being quiet around her.
But let's be honest, was she a first lady that long?
Yeah. She was for a while.
I thought they got pregnant quick and she had the babies and then he cheated and she was gone. I thought it was like a 4-year thing.
He cheated, like she said, cheater, pumpkin eater.
I'm gonna Google how long they were married, actually.
And she took him back.
Yeah, I need to look into that too, because
remember, like, a few seasons ago, the daddy was caught on the hot mic talking about all them illegitimate kids.
Yep.
And then she was like, I'm not gonna talk about that.
Exactly. I'm just at a point. So this is where we're gonna kind of like just kind of shift as we're talking about this. Next season, we are all on the thing.
I know, like, they married up from 02 to 09.
That's a long time. And that's like, I'm hearing rumors, and then finally they're starting to give me evidence. So I guess
I gotta bounce.
About it. Or maybe like a bishop.
Did y'all hear the whole sink thing was about her going crazy after Jamal leaving her, and then she had to go into like a psych ward almost because she almost lost her mind?
Yep. I believe
it. Is that what Jared said? Sink?
Yes. Allegedly.
Yep.
Allegedly.
That was Sing Sing.
That was Sing Sing. That was actually a deep cut. That was a deep cut. I actually got that from her. That was a deep cut.
Yeah.
She told her she was a broken whore from Hampton University. I was like,
you ran through.
Yeah.
I love Karen.
Yeah, I don't know. We have spent a lot of time talking about Giselle because it really is a problem.
No, she needs to go for real.
Wait, side note, do y'all remember when she had that fake storyline of them getting back together?
Yes. Oh, well, remember? No, that was the best scene.
That was the binder. With the binder.
New York. His phone number is.
And she was like, is this her number? Is this his phone number? Said, and she said, but to this day, I would have lied.
I'd have been like, I don't know nobody's phone number.
They said allegedly. When the cameras went down, Giselle broke out crying and had a whole fit. Like, she couldn't even like recover.
I bet.
Of course she did.
I bet. I would have too. Because I would have said, girl.
They said when that happened, she lost.
Gotta be fake.
So think that's because it happened to her again.
Because nobody had ever
Where is that like footage? That. I would have. If I was somebody that didn't like her, like, I would have been like this with my phone.
She must know Andy's sexual partner.
She messing with the man on the cutting room floor. Because ain't no way all this stuff just be not going into it. Because how is this even possible? Because
how is she not? That's what I don't get out of this whole.
But you know, they always keep the villains. They keep Teresa. They keep Kenya. They keep the villains. They kept Ramona for 30 million years. I mean, my God.
They keep Brenda.
They keep Galveston for the show. Like, y'all can't even progress in y'all show because she's so evil.
Yeah.
She's still mad at Wendy because Wendy checked her and went off on her 2-3 seasons ago about her man. She's still mad about that. She has no real reason to be mad at Candace for real. If you really think about it, she just mad.
Yeah.
And Robin don't even because you know your red.
But see, that's what made me mad.
What do you mean, mad? She got a husband that love her, take care of her, support her.
Neither one of them got that. Because he already told you he don't like you and he can't wait to get away from you. You probably would be happy by now too.
I mean, he said it
maybe a part happens
in front of cameras
that like he's only there for the kids. To the producers. Mm-hmm. And you still remarry Robin.
Robin could never, a wedding, a relationship, ever. Money.
Do you know how much reading I would do on Robin? I would make her not want to talk at the reunion at all. Like,
I'd make her want
to
fight.
I would say to her,
them,
like,
them
y'all
sexual picture comments
nice.
Enough would have been like, girl, and we see Juan strong and ready all the time.
I would have been like, about? Oh, you saw them pics? Well, all the pics, what happened to the pics that you so happy don't seem to know nothing about that everybody else has seen about your husband?
Apparently, Juan out here.
What, you knew the girl? See, what's her name, Robin?
Too. That's the frustrating thing about Robin.
Who is she? Because, I mean, if you're looking at my pictures, you
called that lady beautiful.
And that's the thing. That is the thing. So we supposed to believe my husband's alleged pictures, but not believe yours.
Well, he got more.
And then you come talk about he loves to erase his phone.
He got an album.
What are you talking about, Robin? And you believe it?
But you sitting here trying to check somebody for somebody that retracted the story, put the story back, said she lied.
Even Andy was
said
like,
she lied again. But you,
even me,
but you going
saying,
for this?
That doesn't sound credible.
Gordon said it.
Gordon, like, can we trust her?
I was like,
can we trust you?
Like, you
as you sit by
that,
yourself,
like,
as your husband leave you in the blank again.
This your husband deletes text messages all the time. Why? And you sitting here having the nerve
just have
to talk
about
to
his
me
phone being
about
clean?
Anything?
Yeah, because that's what cheating men do. What do we?
Goodbye.
Cheating man 101. Keep the phone clean. Delete everything.
Stupid.
Robin, what?
I mean, he had no reason for the first time to not come to the reunion.
Yeah.
No reason. He's not in
out of all the years,
recruiting,
not doing
nothing. He's volunteering on your son's basketball.
He hate
team.
His wife. He hate his wife, period.
He do.
Even Gordon there, bro. Oh,
Gordon talking to the new boyfriend before we even got to Mia yet. Hold on. We even got to Mia. Gordon is so crazy to me. He over here talking about some, what's up, Lee?
Hey, man. Hey, Ink.
Hater.
How you doing, man?
How you doing, man? She looks good. Yeah.
What? Are you? I can't wait to hear more about this storyline because there's some stuff that we
I don't
know.
Even know.
Point,
I'm going to be
must be
it's
is,
a start.
I don't
right. I don't want to know. It's so outlandish. I don't even want to know what type of lifestyle.
I think they both about to get up.
But this one, I don't want to know.
She lied so much.
I don't want to know his kinks. I don't want
to
know her kinks.
Me about to say she was she took a doctorate degree and decided not to. Like, I don't know what she.
I'm over it. Woo, that boy Ink ain't making no money. I don't care what her shit is. That like
the gag is he probably was helping her get the money from Gordon, and now Gordon ain't got no money, and she taking care of him.
It's giving that he a pimp.
It gives.
Yeah,
it
gives.
It was giving running the
yes,
it was.
It's like you get our coin. You get our coin, Mia.
Yep, go get our money.
Okay.
I don't have much to say about Mia. I just know that girl a liar. She told me somebody went through IUI, so I know that's that man, baby. Okay, which one is it? So if you went through IUI, how could that man possibly think this is kid?
Mia be lying.
Well, let's talk about it, y'all. So we're going to end it with this.
What we got to talk about?
We're going to end it with this. So the new alleged cast, we were trying to see if we had a picture, but
okay,
the new alleged cast is, drum roll, Giselle. I just got to pause on just by saying Giselle first.
We knew she was. I know she's not getting fired. She's never getting fired.
She know what a body is buried.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
NECA.
No sense.
Bye.
Absolutely not.
If they fire Anne Marie,
and she talked to her husband
crazy.
Did y'all hear her talking to that man?
Bro, that girl is disrespectful to that man. He be so nice to her.
Shut up before you anyone whines that. What?
I don't like wine either, but why he catch a string?
They in the doctor's office, she going off it. Why are you in your scrubs? Like,
I do think anyway, there's more to learn about her, but I don't think she should have had a seat before Wendy.
No, she needs to be a friend of, if anyone.
Well, if allegedly she's coming back.
Can we get rid of Eeyore? Can we get rid of Charisse?
We're going to talk about Karen. Karen's coming back.
She got to come back.
They definitely want her to come back to talk about this DUI.
Just like Shannon.
She's got to talk about it.
All right, Shannon. This they face the music season.
It is.
Okay. And I think the other one they showed a picture of was Ashley.
Yeah, they said she on the fence.
They on the fence.
But they need Ashley. They need Ashley because she starts the mess. She has no problem being the one to be the bone collector and bringing it to the people. And just,
I know it's some crazy women up there in them DMV streets. I want to see really rich people.
I'm sick of these mediocre, non-money having women.
They're private.
I have not.
But they do have money, and the ones that were there, they're not coming back is the problem. Candace still has a whole storyline, and out of all of them, she was actually showing.
I have an unpopular opinion. I do have an unpopular opinion about Candace. I'm not upset she's leaving. I don't think that she has a storyline.
Between her having a baby.
I don't want to see that, though. This not making a band. And two, the baby, she's never having a baby. She don't want a child with that man. Like, come on, let's be real. She giving Quad when Quad was going Quad back and forth about, oh, I can have his baby. She's not having that man. Yes, baby.
She already said
her to hear first.
She could talk about, remember her, and when she was getting married, like
her daddy issues
with her daddy and
her mama would kill her and take all the money away. Well,
yeah, like she got a whole brother.
There's no storyline. I think her story has, her story, Ashley's story has closed. Robin's story, honestly, Robin's story closed last season with them getting married. They could have ended that story right then and there. It could have been snaps.
No, they tried to see if she could actually had it in her to come. They tried.
They thought it was going to be a scandal.
Girl told us in her opening monologue, yeah. I do not care. Okay. Get her off the show.
Yeah, exactly,
I don't care. What do you want me to do? Close. Yell at him? Scream at him? What do you want me to do? I don't care.
I'm going to be honest. There is no storylines left.
And that's where we need to build. And that's where we should build.
There's no storyline. And I love Wendy, but Wendy's storyline is I'm stressed.
I don't. Mm-hmm. So.
You're right.
Are we going to talk about the mama bleaching her new skin? Business. What new business?
Every business
she closes. She have a new business every season. Why, it was the Ongi. Then she tried to do the home thing with the Ongi. That's gone. Okay, the show is up right now. It's going to be gone by next season.
Hey, Mandy.
She don't keep business.
She's more true to her in her profession, though.
It don't to me. Because I'm going to be honest. I've never been a Wendy fan. I've always thought Wendy was pretentious.
I never was a fan.
To me, Wendy has not changed. Oh, to be honest with you, there's probably nobody on this cast I actually genuinely like, but Karen Huger.
She said she a commentator and she not qualified to have her own show. That's deep.
Think about that's it. Deep. No, every none of the girls season, are likable. She throws something on the wall and it don't stick. And that's why I was so team Karen with that candle thing. Like, baby, your candle's going to be here today, gone tomorrow. My stuff in Bloomingdale's. We not going to compare. We not finna sit here and compare these wicks.
Three wicks versus two wicks.
She said, tried. I got a 3-wick candle.
Okay, Bath and Body Works.
Oh, I remember Wendy's first season. I could not stand her. She was very pretentious. Yeah, them wigs was bad.
She glowed up, though. Her body is bad. We not finna do that.
She looks great. She got her body done. That was her storyline.
I love it.
I respected how she stood up for her man. I like the way she looked.
I think
looked.
It goes
everything
into production
else,
for me, because I feel like these women do have stuff going on, but they pick and choose what they want to show.
Agreed.
Think about Beverly. But even think about Ogre Christina, whatever her name. That girl run a whole coconut water $1 million company. And
She's boring. Let's be honest.
Who is
that? Who is
Christina?
Whatever her name. Crystal.
She won't
even know her name.
She's boring. She's a snooze fest, but what I'm saying is she actually owns a successful business. They don't show that side of her.
What you want them to do? To go to the factories and show them
what
they're
doing? Yeah, but that's the point. We're missing the point of Housewives. Housewives wasn't about these businesses. Mm-mm. Housewives wasn't about none of that. We just wanted to see some mess. We want to see y'all. Well, going guess to what, man?
They keep giving us women that got to work. So I don't know what we're talking about.
Guess what I'm saying? We're missing the whole recipe here. Skin don't care about your business. Bethany Frankel and Candy ruined it. Bethany and Candy came in here with this business. Now these girls coming on here to get a business. Okay.
Yeah, because they all probably leave their husbands afterwards. Bravo.
Hold on, let's shake up.
They got a Bravo clause. So if you promote your business on
they get
the
a percentage.
Show, Bravo gets a cut.
Because Candy sat there.
And that all happened because
Candy
of
sat there
Bethany
and ran
Frank.
A checkup every season and came out with new business and promoted for free.
Yep. So I'm over it. I want some petty. Toya and all her friends sitting down at the
you
manor.
Also can't forget Lisa Vanderpump. She was also a working woman.
Promoted her show for free.
Lisa.
But she still had the mess. She still had the dinners.
At least
she had
the
parties.
At her
she
restaurant.
She brought the girls
her.
Took the girls. That's what I like. She still brought the. Yeah, I'm the only one
she
that's really working, but I'm still rich.
House.
She
I'm
got
real
money.
She
had
me like rich girl.
She gets opulent.
I'm
like,
sorry, nobody
girls,
told me
like,
got
I'm not gonna
real,
lie, like
for
we just gotta.
And her house wasn't even that spectacular when that's I seen it, honestly, it. And I was low key upset.
But we said that about Atlanta, guys. Like, this is the problem in general. We keep going back
keep
to this, with like, they have changed what the standard Real Housewife
of a housewife
be.
Is.
And until they go back to the original, like, I'm gonna keep going back to
it's gonna be
Beverly
this.
Hills stumped me these that first season.
Yeah.
I couldn't understand. I kept rewinding because when they put all four nannies on the screen and said, I'm on every vacation, every trip. I'm the one that do the nights. This one do the morning.
Yeah.
I want to see that again. I want to see that like
OG Atlanta.
I want to see
Sheree having it a party and not inviting me.
But that's not even wealth.
Like,
I'm talking about wealth.
Deshaun had wealth.
She only won because she had a house manager. I'm talking about the wealth of what's her name from
but
Kelsey
Beverly Hills
Rambler,
was the only franchise that
who was
way,
sitting here like, I made
Camille,
it.
But Marla, but you're giving an outlier. That was the whole point of Beverly Hills.
They were
it was
real
the
money.
Outlier, Marla. You're missing
that
the point. Yeah,
money.
you're missing the point. You can't compare
money.
Nothing to Beverly Hills, Marla. Like that
my
was the whole point
Potomac
of Beverly
is,
Hills. The rest of the girls were real housewives.
That's like close to DC Chocolate City, used to be like it's so many women up there that
it
has status, that has money, that political ties. Like I want to see that,
but you can't be on a show with that. Okay, you can't be on a show with that.
Remember when they did the season of Real Housewives
DC? It's
and
coming on. It's coming on Peacock.
Peacock
in the middle of this month.
Too.
I've never seen
you.
It.
I can't wait
I cannot wait to watch
it. Was so.
They're putting it on because it got shut down because somebody lied about being invited to the White House and they had them Bravo cameras in there. And it was they were not invited.
This is why Potomac
we
can't.
And the government
this is why we can't have no people political because of this. Okay, that makes sense.
Literally, they went to the White House like a sit dinner or something.
A sit dinner and acted like they were invited, had Bravo cameras there.
It was like a whole congressional hearing about it.
Yeah.
It
was
so good.
So that's why DC was one and done. So I've never seen the actual season because I was too young, but I read about it. So
it
I cannot
so
wait to watch it. It's
okay,
I think it comes out on the 15th.
They can do something
the
better 15th than these.
On Monday.
That's homework.
That's better. They can do something better than these women we watching that all need jobs and all getting borderline on getting STEMI checks and everything else.
Jasmine said they all need jobs.
I agree.
They all
everybody
need jobs to pay these bills.
They do.
Like I really want to watch bored women. I really want to watch rich, bored women that don't got nothing to do. That just wake up one day and say, tell their husband, I'm finna just go play tennis, babe. That's all I'm doing today.
You got Giselle over here in this rent-a-center house, girl.
Man, like, what are we doing? These women out here struggling for checks.
Rent
out here throwing stuff against the wall. Robbing out her a Glow 360. What is a Glow 360?
Maybe she said she gonna get that skin together. She gonna put some investment.
What happened to that?
You gotta do something because
Alibaba hat she was selling, throwing
these
a label on
these
it.
Businesses.
Girl, my face.
Yeah, when
Robin, that's what shouldn't I'm saying. Have I never, stepped I never foot felt on Potomac. She came on broke them. And told us she was broke.
Yeah, broke.
But she was Giselle's sidekick, and they felt like she was needed to give her a sidekick. And so this is
the worst. I've only liked two women on the show.
Robin has always been Robin.
Only like Batman and Robin. I've only liked Monique. Like, totally like them and the only two women I ever liked.
The show should have been surrounded around Monique. She was a show. Real money.
Nothing but Monique's. It should have been a bunch of money. Like, that's the type of housewife I want to see.
Okay, that's a valid point because so it's in Potomac, but Redskins, what they called now, the Commanders. Uh-huh. They got no football wives.
They should have cast around her. They should have asked her who her friends were.
Like the Nationals.
Somebody
like baseball.
Somebody has organization. Somebody owns some organization. Monique. Somebody owns something. Some charitable place. Like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like FedEx is there. We're talking about like.
That's what I'm saying. It's so much there.
But see, that's why I want them to start back going to them small niche cities where don't nobody know nothing about, because then women be having a certain type of life. Like going to middle of America somewhere. Yes, Real Housewives of Memphis. You ain't got nothing to do but be bored.
Go to Dillard's.
Go to Dillard's.
Nah, and go to Dillard's. That's all they do.
I wish they would pop up in that raggedy Dillard's. I would be so high.
Mandy used to work at Dillard's.
Girl, them women so hot if I look at my TV, and I'm looking at the 1990s decor
Dillard's.
I'm gonna be so mad.
I could have sold a show, y'all. Y'all don't understand. These women would be bored in the middle of the day on a Tuesday. Come in my department with some running gear on. Ain't ran nowhere, y'all. Promise you.
I love it.
Ain't ran nowhere. And said, my kids are coming home with their girlfriends. I don't really like the girlfriends, but. We're just going to refresh the whole house. I need like 5 whole bedrooms.
What does that mean? Like bedspreads? Like comfort?
No, the whole shit. They wanted the comfort, the sheets, the new shams, the pillows. They was getting dishware. They were getting napkins. They were getting crystal.
She already seen the black one. We didn't like, know
bro, like it was so many older married couples coming in the store just spending money, like I want to see that.
It's giving Real Housewives a front neck.
Yes, 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 Shay. Yes,
I don't
want
to see that.
Yes,
but
like
okay,
I want to do that.
Look,
I want to see women arguing about. You stole my Dylan's bedroom. Like I want to see that.
Some of these private schools.
You know I buy J. Queen. Why would you buy J. Like,
you see my whole house is made. Why would you buy it?
You want the housewife? Shay said she wasn't what it's like. You see, she's trying to throw a bigger party than the one that I threw for my girl's birthday party last week. Well, I'm going to show her my son's birthday comes up next month, and we're going bigger than what they did.
And they just start giving us figures at the bottom of the screen. 25,000.
No, that is the truth. That is
and
the
they
truth
really love you right off.
Birthday parties for these private schools.
Jimmy's running an amusement park, so I'm gonna do a custom. Like,
I'm gonna bring the zoo to my backyard. Yeah, we have a free zoo, but I'm buying a giraffe.
How much is Little Wayne for a day?
I want to see Rihanna talking about something. I gotta do a whole concert for a day, but I'm about.
You know what? They can go somewhere in Kentucky where them people be at the Kentucky Derby, wherever's around there.
Okay, Kentucky Derby. They can go to Louisville.
Yeah.
Louisville, Real Housewives of Louisville, where they be rich and be going to the derbies and doing the horses.
Louisville is country.
We do need a Midwest housewife.
Another place we'll be to will be Augusta, because that's where the national
Augusta. Absolutely. I would watch
and
it.
And people are so like old money there.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes, we do. Yes, we need more Southern Midwest.
Like, you can't even like Sutton be saying, like, you can't even like buy into it with your new money. Now it's gotta be like
Sutton would be a perfect person to introduce.
Yes,
though. Sutton would be a perfect person.
Name. Like, it's a what's your last name?
Then,
can you
but
get
you get one girl that's in there from new money.
Yes.
Just one.
That's new money that's trying to get up in there, and that's her storyline. Mm-hmm. And then you'll see which of the old money finally link up. Bro, like, it's so much
Bravo.
More.
Call us.
Speaking of BravoCon, we know it isn't until 2020.
They said this year's
They but both. By then,
too many lawsuits.
We tied up in too much litigation.
We got to pay Nene. Portia got a new contract. Now she got to go to litigation. We did spend our money.
They suing us. Everybody's suing us. Bethany trying to sue us. Everybody's trying to sue us.
Oh, what's that girl name? Raquel hey. Or Rachel?
Rachel Faith Autumn. I just feel like we're missing niche shows. Like, I was on TikTok and they was playing, like, they was had clips of old clips of the old yes. Mob Wives. Like, something just
I used to love Mob Wives.
Like, show. They was no, really Mob in that Wives light. Was a problem.
That was a
they
real
was really
problem.
In that light. They was really in that light.
Her name was what? Karen?
People Rita. Was really
Rita. Rita. Oh, my Rita. Rita was my girl. Hey, I love you,
Karen, get up. When she walked in that reunion, didn't say yes. nothing but Karen, get ooh, up. Jesus. That's what I'm saying. That's what these reunions missing. Somebody need to get touched. I don't know.
They let mad at Karen because her daddy was a snitch. Like,
literally mad at Renee because her husband snitched. And I yes. watched the interview. She did an interview. Do you know she couldn't tell the real story? But the Autumn watches that her husband was buying her. He had wires put in them. Had her on wire. She found out so much. All the jewelry she took, because she randomly, like, once he went away, she had to sell all the jewelry. She took them to her jewelry. Her jewelry was like, do you know all this jewelry have, like, wires in it? Like, he was an informant. Like, he had her and the son and everybody informant and didn't even know. Had wires in her. Girl, we need that back.
That's VH1. That's vintage VH1 for you right there.
Vintage, but we gonna end here. So y'all, Potomac got some work to do. I don't know if I'm
watching. I won't be. I'm done.
I won't be. We're tapped out.
I cannot, as a black woman, keep dealing with the same scenario.
Why am I triggered watching the show? I shouldn't be triggered watching the show.
Yeah, it's not even fun no more. Like I'm literally
like I text y'all like, are y'all watching this because I'm about to go crazy right now.
Like I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. Another one. I'm borderline. Jersey coming back, and next month I'm borderline.
I'ma start it, and I don't know if I'ma finish.
We'll see how the season starts.
Yeah,
I might not, y'all. If I see one Teresa Melissa,
I don't think it's gonna be about that. It seems like it's gonna be about a lot of other issues.
I read an article where Andy said basically it's not gonna be that, and they think they can move on.
It's not about them
without that. Now, like they found a space where they can move on without it.
But see, Teresa is another Robin. She know her husband ain't no good. And he's all these different things, but she like, oh, well.
No, I think that's what the season is going to talk about, y'all. Unfortunately,
okay, I might be in.
They about to expose the mess out of Louis. And it's going to
be back to Louis.
If they expose him.
Yeah, like it's going to get to the point where they showed a scene where I think she was crying because she was starting to realize like some of the stuff that he really was doing behind her back. Her with her money.
Oh, never mind. Forgive
me. If they do that, I'll watch.
It's a tune in for sure. Like, it's gonna be a lot of stuff coming out.
I was like, "You finna be watching them Italian girls? You be too you be too emotional about them. I don't think you should be watching."
Oh, he said you be too emotional. Okay,
man. That Melissa and Teresa stopped watching me up real, man. Seeing her arguing with Joe and all that, they used to really eat me up. Like, I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
Oh, but that was all Teresa. I mean. Anyways, we can go into that.
We sorry, y'all. We trying to.
We are, and so we end with this, Carlos. Get on A side. You're done. And not just the side that you're sitting in front of.
I'm going to say it to a
spec. Oh, yeah.
I'm
going to
see him.
Carlos, we love you. I'm going to start by saying this. We love you. We listen to you. We listen to you.
Just like Joe Budden. I treat him like Joe Budden now. I treat him like Joe Budden.
But here's the issues that we're
having.
And I think it took my girl from Married to Medicine, Mariah Huck, that says, and she read you very
lot
of girls. And it's coming off like, you just asking anybody who will do an interview
like this chick right here,
even after you be dragging people.
Oh man,
like her
giving her a spotlight to down Garcelle.
Why, Carlos?
You don't like Garcelle though.
Why? And she wasn't even a real storyline. The girl barely got time.
That's why anybody that hate Garcelle, and I think it's because he done asked Garcelle for 30 million interviews and she's not thirsty to go on there and she says no, so he's offended. Yeah, so he just goes on a hate
train. But he loved her during the season, or was I tripping?
Her and Sutton.
Yep.
He did.
No,
he did like her.
No, he didn't. He talked bad about her every chance he got. Yep, all that. He think the only real friends are the fakest ones. I just,
yeah, I don't know.
You want to tell me the
fix your show, because I just watched Ashley and Savage Fenty talking about this is one of her favorite stores, and she's at the regular mall. Fix your own show. Fix your own show. Stay off of these.
I just watched that.
You over here got Joy and Ashley fighting for the past whole season.
Did you see what Joy had on at that birthday?
That was ridiculous. That jumpsuit with that one side of beads.
It was given naked. It was given she got that at like
Rainbow. It's like she showed them a picture of Mugler bodysuit and said, I can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Throw something together, put some rhinestones on it. We rocking.
Naked. And not in a good
just
way.
Just naked.
What?
No, I think these things gonna get canceled.
I'm
anyway.
I think so too.
I don't know how they could move on.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how Ashley and Joy go from like literally beefing, like physically fighting each other.
I hate your husband.
How do you hate my husband if you cool with me?
Yeah, you can't hate my husband and we cool.
That's not a world that I can be.
I'm not doing that. And it's editing. Everything comes back to editing, because now all of a sudden you force feeding us this Ashley is lonely, her man is not there, the last episode. We could have been focused on this,
but no, because season. No, because
it's supposed to be about love and marriage,
about nothing. For the past whole season has been about Joy and Ashley fighting over something that happened 2 years ago now or whatever. Girl, if y'all get on my face,
yeah,
good.
This happened in 2022.
Goodbye.
Yeah, so
fix your own stuff.
Stop working on the show.
All right, y'all. So that wraps us up today. Really big deep dive into Potomac. We want to hear, do you guys agree? Do you disagree? Are y'all watching next season? We also got one more episode of the reunion coming out on Sunday. This will air after that, just so you guys know. So this may be, you know, a little after that. So we'll make sure in our next podcast we'll hit that last reunion episode.
But I don't think it's going to be about nothing.
We're just
not
okay.
It's not.
That's all I got from
him.
I think
he's
gonna talk about his cancer.
Or he gonna admit the paternity is his. He gonna admit the paternity is
his. Let's be honest, Gordon and that boy look just alike. We don't know who that little boy look like. Keep it at that.
Man, that's his son, man.
If you said you're gonna take care of the baby.
How crazy to do this.
That's it.
On national TV.
I know, on national TV. This
nothing else.
This is terrible. But okay. All right, y'all. So that concludes our episode. We'll see y'all again later. Bye.
Bye.